are needed at the following congresses. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing us this possibility to debate difficult topics like terminal dues. As we have said, no disagreement was expressed with regard to proposals by the managing board. I'm not sure which ones we can refer to at this time. There were many, but all the elements need to be interconnected and adjusted to the needs of each and every country.
Thank you, Etienne. As we understand, this is a tricky and difficult issue. Most of the countries present here belong to the European Union. I wonder if the representative of the European Union has anything to add to this discussion on terminal dues.
Thank you, Egil. First of all, thanks for calling me representative of the European Union, which I would only be in the framework of an international organization to which we are, for the European Union would be formally observer. So I'm still here for the European Commission, but as a matter of fact, as the other colleagues on the podium, I'm here as a person and cannot express now any official position to any official proposal, which we don't know anyway, because many of these proposals are not yet official, a part of the CAPOC proposal, but the others are not. So maybe some ideas from my personal viewpoint on the issue. The important thing here, and John has mentioned it already, is the interface between a regional solution and an international or global solution that you have. So clearly, in the EU, we have certain very specific rules, Article 12, Article 13, which encourages cost orientation principle, which encourages transparency, which encourages non-discrimination principle. I mean, you know all of them and their concrete effects on that. So we have to see within the EU to get the things right, to do our homework. There's still a lot to be done in the EU. I'm convinced of that. In the UPU, we cannot pretend, or we cannot apply or pretend to apply these same principles that we have developed for a very specific situation. So we must not be missionary, I think, to advocate our model, which is a regional model and which is adapted to our needs, where we have certain volumes amongst us for historic reasons, for other reasons, for many, many communication issues that are improving, and not only in the postal sector, but in other sectors too. I mean, let's think about some years ago on mobile telephony and what we do today. I mean, mobile telephony now, if you look at the last solutions in the European Parliament on the roaming, and we introduce a lot of things there. I mean, we establish an area where you have certain harmonized rules even. So, okay, taking it from there, we cannot pretend to apply these rules to the UPU. As Etienne said, there are some very tricky political issues in the discussions ahead, and I think we should be well aware of them. The classification of countries is by definition a very political subject as such, because, I mean, independently of any objective factors, there come other things into play. The transition to the target system, I mean, ever since I've been in my first time at the UPU, I have understood that this keeps to be on a moving target, and a very flexible moving target, and I like the expression ad vitam aeternam, because I think this quite fits to the issue. Certainly, when we look now at the concrete CAPOC proposal, which is fairly complex as such proposals are by definition, one can move this into one direction and into the other direction. So I'm It's very difficult to express what will happen at Congress with 192 members that and many amendments going there. So I really wonder, and this is a question maybe to the audience, how they see the issue and how they see a way to more coast orientation in general in the UPU. I mean, we're not discussing about the issues inside the EU. I think here we are clear on the framework, but how we want to go about that flow that is, as you say, a minor one, because in quantity and so therefore, but still an issue that will be discussed at length, I think, at Congress. And I mean, I wonder what the audience is thinking about that.
Thank you, Robert. I have to apologize for calling you a representative of the European Union. Coming from a country which does not belong to the European Union, I'm not so used to this, you know that. So I'll try to correct myself.
We are ourselves not yet fully used to that. I mean, the implementation of the Lisbon Treaty is not an easy thing in legal and all other terms, and meeting colleagues from European External Action Service, sometimes, I mean, they are colleagues, ex-colleagues from the Commission, but now they are European External Action Service, so this is all quite wired, and so the complexity is increasing even inside Europe, and I mean, Norway is an example of the complexity inside the broader European economic area, I'm very sympathetic to your thinking that it's difficult to name that, but here I'm just Robert Pochmaski, and to simplify things.
Thank you. Before I ask the floor, perhaps to Pascal, do you have anything to comment on this issue?
Thank you. Maybe just two words. Of course, I've heard what was said here. Of course, the problem is a big issue. Even if it's not important in terms of flows, in terms of economic part of the economic component of the business for a small country, least developed country, terminal dues is a key factor. 80% of their traffic is international. So we should understand that. As a UPU perspective, of course, we international bureau try to put the best possible expert on this important issue. Since 69 Tokyo Congress, it's a core business of the UPU too, the international bureau. Most important is also to have in mind the quality of service. We do need to provide to citizens of this planet a certain quality of service. And we should integrate this dimension, and it was basically the idea in Europe to integrate in terminal dues remuneration based on quality of service. And as a Swiss, Switzerland was in charge of this prior to the Congress of Geneva, of course we put a lot of effort, but once again with the European, let's say, geographical European way of saying so. The second thing is also to make sure that our partners in developing and least developed country, they do understand the problematic. In some cases, they don't have any perception of their own costs. That's the reason why we are trying with analytic cost accounting to help them to know better them costs. And last but not least, also to provide to deciders. I was in the Arabic region with CEOs, and they were not able to understand the difference between terminal dues and code part territorial and DMS, and at the end of the day, they are looking for money. And here we have also maybe to do a part of the job in trying to explain them why we are putting things. So I do appreciate your approach, of course, and others. But it's a very complex matter, and it will be one of the core business of the Congress, like we have this in the past Congress. But one thing, what is important is to try and stress what we can give also to these regions as an answer. Quality of Service Fund is one answer, but once again, we should also target our speech and the way we present things in order to be understood. If there is one European way to sell solutions. That was my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. I certainly agree that terminal use is a very important issue within the UPU, perhaps the one most important issue. Before I ask for any comments from the floor, I would like to remind you that I would like to have at least one or two other issues on the table as well, so please try to be a little bit short. Are there anyone who would like to comment on this? Yes, PostEurope.
Hello. Maybe a question in the same trend to Pascal and or the Commission. I leave it up to you to battle on that. Is the following. We see that there is a lot of national legislations on some matters, like security, like customs, like dangerous goods, like these things, which touch upon the, I would say, sovereignty of member states or countries. We also see that European Union has, I would say, in a kind of delegated acts, received these powers in terms of setting regulatory criteria for the EU 27. When we discuss in UPU with 193 countries, European Union is 27. It's only 27, I would say. Okay. The question is if each continent, if each country comes up with new legislative initiatives, like, for example, on cargo security, what instance in the world should be the responsible instance to be a kind of gendarme between the member states and all these countries to say, hey guys, you're going in this direction, the other continent is going in another direction, and this is making postal operators very difficult life. So who should have the ultimate legislative authority to regulate these things from a worldwide perspective? Like we try to do with standards on security, but obviously the natural organization for these things is the ICAO, with overreaching powers on that. So, and it's good to have dialogues between the US and EU, etc., in terms of policy dialogues. But can UPU take on board the kind of role for the postal community to set regulation standards that, I would say, have overriding power vis-à-vis WCO or ICAO, for example? I'm not sure if my question is clear, but maybe Pascal or Robert can discuss.
We would like to.
Thank you.
Robert?
Well, Joost, I think, I mean, you have already gone, and Egil certainly wanted that we switch also to other topics than terminal dues. You have moved into the topic of air cargo security, which we discussed a bit already yesterday. I think, terminal dues is a difficult and tricky issue in the overall context, but there, I mean, the problem is not that big with air cargo security when it comes to an international solution, because you can have a regional solution that fits very well into an overall solution in terminal dues. On air cargo security, to have different systems, this will not work, because there needs to be really one system that works in the long run, at least. I mean, if you want to ensure that things like the Yemen incident and so do not happen. So you pointed out that the ICAO is the competent overriding authority on that. There's also the World Customs Organization. So there's a number of organizations that is dedicated to same, similar, overlapping issues, in fact. And clearly, inside the EU, you have you refer to delegated acts. I'm not the person from DG TaxSud and the relevant units concerned that manage this process. Certainly, there There are rules that have been designated to that. I mean, the UPU is the organization responsible for assuring a unique postal territory all over the world and ensuring that international cooperation works in exchange of letters. So there is a natural interest of this organization in these matters too. And I mean, you have been very active also in this context in that organization. So who should be the final arbiter when it comes to different solutions proposed by the US, by China, by eventually Europe, by eventually some others? This is difficult to say, basically, because here you are at the crossroads of diverging subjects: customs, security, aviation, transport. So if you want an easy answer to that, that I would say we can have a seminar on that, a full day seminar, and have some scientific discussion on that. So possibly, as the subject is complex, also the solution is a very complex one. And I understand that from the viewpoint of an operator, a designated operator, you would wish for a simple, clear solution, yes. But we would all wish for simple, clear solutions, I think. But here, possibly there is none.
Anyone else who would like to continue? Yes, Pascal?
It's a difficult topic indeed, but we can find also and manage for solution. I have in mind one example, which is a lithium battery. Decision was taken under the UPU umbrella, but at the end of the day, it was difficult because still we have customs and ICAO to manage with. And the UPU went officially there and managed to get the answer from the ICAO, and up to the 1st of January 2013, we will have a solution for lithium battery. Then in other type of business like security and others, of course, and that's maybe the purpose of international organization also, because you are, as member country, negotiating and signing international treaties. So you can put things in those treaties, but of course, in the other hand, you have other international governmental agencies who are dealing with the same problem. And that's the purpose of having, between international organization, strong relationship, not only on a memorandum of understanding, but on a daily business, that we can find and try and find the best place, the best possible people to talk with, and at the end of the day to find practical response. Finally, of course, if at the end of the day nothing happened, who could be the judge of the things? And it's always difficult as international organization in law. The International Court of Justice is a, but it's not an answer for our operator. So it could be difficult, but that's the role of multilateral agency to try and address the right topic and to find the solution. And if there is a need to discuss further with customs, with ICAO, with IATA, and with other agency in charge of WTO, and that we are doing today in order to find, at the end of the day, solution.
Thank you for that contribution as well. I think one answer to all of this is that international cooperation is like life itself. There is no right answer. You just have to try to find the best possible solution and live by it, because there is no definite right answer to every question in the world. I would like to touch upon one other issue, looking at my watch. Parts of the proposals that have been discussed within the last cycle and really for some years, and there are proposals concerning this to the Congress, is to develop electronic postal services in different ways. We have something called the dot post. We have different issues trying to evolve the use of electronic services and to have designated operators working with electronic services as part of their core business, so to say. My question would be, is this something that UPU should work with? Is it a natural part of the postal business? What should be our view to how to treat this in the future? Is it part of the post, or is it electronic communication and nothing else? Do you have any views on that? Can I ask Dejan first?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much, Egil, for your giving me the floor. I will try again to speak on my language. As elektronske poštanske usluge svakako su
services, in my opinion, are the future ahead of us, and we will have to exchange such information between the sender and the recipient. We need to develop electronic postal communications that will be certified in a sense, so it will be a replacement for mail services. They are on the decrease in Europe. With us the situation is different, but it will also be the case. We have already regulated electronic certificates in Serbia, and there is more and more intentions that certain information will be transmitted electronically, and of course they can be turned into hard copies and delivered regularly. What I believe electronic postal services, or just electronic services if you wish, will enable a large number of parcels or packages of postal services in response to the requirements of users. So we still need to have goods in our country, to have goods physically delivered to the users, which will be changed in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Dejan. Anyone else in this panel who would like to make a contribution to this? Yes, Pascal?
Thank you. As the director of strategy, I had to integrate the third dimension in the strategy. I have done this already last cycle in the Nairobi Postal Strategy. Of course, we can discuss and debate if it's the role of the UPU to integrate this in its mission. But what is a fact is that the postal sector already integrated it in the daily business. The second thing is then when we tried to make sure that we could have played a role, we were considered by ICANN, and we are the first international organization to have received a domain level, top domain level name, which is there are only 20 top domain level at a worldwide level. And we did it. And it was 1 month ago, the CEB meeting in Geneva, and Ban Ki-moon has a big concern because it seems that all the UN organization cannot stay with INT at the end. And Ban Ki-moon asked the UPU to provide a solution for that and for international organization. Okay, let's do and find if it's possible. More seriously, of course, then it's the role maybe to try and find and provide solutions. But at the end of the day, as far as products and services is concerned, we should set up things like extra budgetary financing in order to make sure that we can, as we did for the PTC or EMS, which is a product, in order to separate at the international bureau level and at governance issue level, the different problematic. And that would be one point in the agenda during the next Congress. But definitely, more and more we are communicating through the internet. Everybody's here is doing that. More and more we are making business through the internet, and maybe there is also a natural place for the postal sector to be a partner also in this exchange, because we are providing parcels, we are providing final goods to the customers. So the right balance, the political right balance at the UPU should be discussed and addressed, of course. I am happy with that, but there is a role definitely for the UPU. At which level, it depends on you, members.
Thank you. Anyone else in the panel who has something to say about this? Or yes, John?
You want me to be provocative, do you? I think let's try and look at this from a practical point of view. The post has traditionally operated in three markets: letters, and it has got very core competences in conveyance and delivery of letters. The real problem is that that market is declining quite rapidly, certainly in Western Europe and in America, by roughly about 10% per annum, as far as I can see. It's expected to sort of reduce by to about 50% of the level it was within the next 5-10 years. Conversely, though, it's also very active in the conveyance and distribution of goods, not just business to consumer and consumer to consumer, but also business to business. And the problem there, they've got, some countries have got very, very good competences in that. Others have neglected that market and let other companies develop it. But it's still a very viable business. And the important point is it's growing by about 10% per annum. So it's a good substitute for the letter business that's declining. The other core business for many countries has been the money transmission. Right from the early days of the post, when people would take a banknote, cut it in two, and send it as two separate letters to money orders, postal orders, gyro. And this isn't a business that the banks are very interested in. But again, of course, the problem is that many people, many postal operators prefer to deal with Western Union rather than the traditional postal systems. If I go into La Poste, my Visa card was stolen in France once. They gave me money. It actually came through Western Union, and I had to go down to La Poste and have a row with them to try and get it out. But Belgium is the same. Ireland, I know, is Western Union as well. As regards electronic communications and the use of it and the integration of it, I think there's two separate areas. There's the one that we've just talked about, where effectively you're talking about hybrid mail, where people might want to type in a letter individually into a computer system or in bulk, if it's a bill or whatever it is, and have it transmitted electronically, printed out at a point near delivery and delivered physically. That is one where there's a very core competence for the postal operators. And even the reverse, in Ireland now, when you do your tax return, it's in a form that it doesn't look any different, but you just fill it in. And it's designed so that when it's received physically, it can be torn up, run through a scanner, and you've got the information electronically. So that's another core competence, I think, within the postal system. The real problem, I think, comes when postal operators want to enter into very complex electronic systems, and you're trying to compete with the likes of Microsoft and Google and Facebook and people who have got very core complex competences in all of this. And I think the question I ask is, have postal operators got sufficient competence to actually compete with those people who have been developing these markets for 25, 30 years now. And in many cases, you know, they're favored by the governments for whatever reason. And it's interesting that in many cases, the posts are actually setting up joint ventures with people in that industry rather than trying to do it themselves. How it's